Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Praise God. You know, in my father's church, when I was growing up in Ivory Coast, went to Baptist Church, they have a break in between the Sunday school and then worship service. And those men will go and smoke that moment. They go outside and smoke, you know, because you can't smoke inside church. So, hallelujah. This last week or two men died that they are very important to American Foundation in a certain way. One called Henry Kissinger, died about 100. He was the mover and shaker when it came to American foreign policy. He was the one who helped to open up China that we have today. You know, it's an American Jew, and some Christians thought that he would be the Antichrist. So the Antichrist had died. The second person, I think, was called Charles Munger or something like that. He was the partner to Warren Buffett that built the extensive wealth together. He died about 99 or 100 too. And they are gone. Whatever you say about them is gone. But thank God, we don't go like that. Praise God. We don't go like that. So it's beautiful to just learn this morning about wealth. And please, let's take hold of that shallow water, that deep water thing. And, you know, let's think about it thoroughly well, each one of us. And no matter how old you are, you can still go deeper. You can still go deeper. Praise God. All right. We're going to have the choir just take the time to just sing. Then we'll have Stamuji to come and read. Let's just relax and hear the song. Rejoice with the song of Zion. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. If you are younger here, you have had a whole lot. That will help you a lot. That will help you a lot. Okay. So, let's have a time to... I know you are surprised. You are coming quite early. Usually it's at the end. So, glory to Jesus. Okay. Somebody said offering. No offering. Yeah, let's just listen to the song and be blessed. Hallelujah. Something, but I didn't have the chance because we don't have time. Yesterday I sent to Pelumi, they sang all the songs that we have been singing from 559 AD, different songs like this kind of song, all till 2017, the songs that dominated the Christian life. About 8 minutes. I wish I could play it for you, but I don't have the time. You want us to play it? Okay, let's play just 2, 3, or 4 minutes. And then we cut it off. Can we? Is it possible? All right. You will see the different time in church history with different songs that dominated them. And I hope it will work. If it doesn't work, I'll send it to you on your platform so you can listen to it. You want to try? Okay. It's not showing. It's not showing. Okay. Just stop it. You cannot do that. It won't work like that. Put it off. I told them that it's not easy for them to do it. We will have just played it on the. You'll see them singing and then showing the dates of each of the time that I beg. But Lumi is not around. I was the one who asked, okay, maybe this is looking like it. Okay. It's live streaming. Okay, all right. Can you make it bigger than that? And feel, okay, can we take it from there? Can you try? Okay, play from here. They're already singing. It's not coming out. Balloon is not around. Okay, all right. Okay, thank you. That's totally fine. How many years ago? It's a long time ago. Planned for a long time ago.
When darkness seems to hide on his unchanging grace,
this is the truth.
In every high and stormy gale, my death in the veil, and the things I will change me dead.
That's about 100 years ago. That's about tonight.
He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary.
Okay.
Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. Soon and very soon, we are going. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very
soon, 50 years ago, something about,
we are going
yet.
To see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
All right.
With wisdom, power, and love.
Stop
shout
now.
To the Lord all the earth, let us sing.
That's about 30 years ago.
Or
20 years ago.
Praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name.
Thank you. You know, I said, okay, don't worry, I'll drop it on your platform. I'll just drop it there for you. You know, I just going through this history of the church with different kind of music. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Sister Muji, let's come on. Let's welcome Sister Muji. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. What are we doing today? Healing. Beautiful. Let's do that. Hallelujah. You have taken the time. We have taken it back from you. That's about almost 10 minutes. You know.
Good morning, church. God's in your life. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Luke 11, verse 2. Notice what Jesus said. Done as in heaven, so in earth. In other words, God's will on earth is no different than God's will in heaven. I don't plan to see any sickness when I get to heaven. Do you? Of course not. There is no sickness in heaven because sickness cannot exist in the presence of God. But how do you know what God's will is here on earth? Well, find out what his will is in heaven, and you'll have a pretty good idea. Jesus said, Thy kingdom come, that will be done in heaven as it is in earth. So if health is God's will in heaven, health is God's will down here on earth too. If he is against sickness there, he's against sickness here. God wants you healthy once you are in heaven, and he wants you healthy while you are still here on earth. So let God's kingdom come and his will be done in your life. Receive your healing and walk in divine health. Confession, let's do it together. Divine health is God's will for me even while I'm here on the earth. I walk in health because Jesus bore all my sicknesses and pains. Therefore, in Jesus' name, I am healed.
Praise God. Thank you, Stanley. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right. Thank you. Can we just declare that God's will be done in our lives this week? In every area of life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. Lord, let your will be done. Let your plan be fulfilled. In our work with you, in our work we are doing with our hands. Thank you, Father. We love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. For a few minutes, we're just going to share. We are in 1 Peter, remember? If you are not here last week, we started talking about pillars for next year and beyond. And we are taking our cues from what Paul said about three men in the Bible. He talked about James, Peter, and John as the pillars of the church. All right. Is this something? Thank you. All right. So, and we are looking at Peter, praise God, learning from him. If you remember last week, I talked about pillars are not the same thing as chairs in this hall. Pillars are always there. They hold the ground, come rain, come sunshine, as long as the building is standing. But chairs can be changed, fans can be changed, speakers can be changed. Things will change in our life next year from this year, but certain things will stay permanent. And one of those things that will stay permanent is the Word of God. And we are going to see from these pillars of the church certain pillar things we need for our life. Last week we saw that we are pilgrims, am I right? We are on a journey here, and we are not just on tour. Tourism is for pleasure, but pilgrimage is for purpose of identifying with holy sites, so that wherever you go, of course you will see water gushing out, whatever, you will see some kind of sand piece or some kind of building, but they are associated with our faith or our religion, whichever way you belong to. So we as Christians, whichever journey we make in life, it's just more than me and my wife, more than me and my children, more than me and my work. Every part is a holy ground. Praise God, somebody. So let's go step further today. So let's go to 1 Peter again one more time, verse 2, verse 3. We read it last week, but let's read it again. Give us verse 2, verse 3, in 1 Peter, rather. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. Can we quickly do that? Okay. It's talking about us. Okay, let's start from verse 2. Okay, that's verse 2. Elect of verse 1 to make it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the diaspora in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Remember we said that word dispersal means diaspora. We are all in diaspora. We are all moving. Praise God. Our children know that more than we do. Our children don't have any roots anywhere. Hello? They are global children. Hallelujah. One of the problems we are going to face in the future is that, because African people are very rooted. But we, our children, are brought up by the Western world. And they don't seem to have any roots. When they get to the old age in the Western world, they are packed into old people's homes. Because there's no need to keep you around. It's difficult. But in recent time in America, something was happening because housing was getting so expensive. So the young children are now going back to their parents' house for two reasons. Number one, to lessen the financial burden. And second, that this much children they have, they can have grandmom and granddad take care of them. It's easier because, they have all the time and they have the money too and the bigger house. Praise God. That's what's going on. So let's look at next verse. Verse 2 says, we are chosen, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. We saw this one last week. Let's go to verse 3 today. And I would like to read New Living Translation. I want you to read this with me. New Living. This is a little bit tough. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Peter speaking. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Why? Because God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Now, I love this one. We live with heavy hopelessness. Is that what it says? No. We live with despair. No. We live with what? Great expectation. NKJV call it living or lively hope. I'm coming to see, and you too, as we get older, we notice that the hope of this world is actually hopelessness. If you notice in recent time, democracy is losing its face, even in Africa, some other places. In 1989, when the Berlin Wall was brought down and communism went with it, there was only one hope: capitalism and democracy will offer us the best in the world. But at the end of the day, democracy plus capitalism offered us 1% who are the richest in the world. The rest of us are groaning in struggles. And so you can see our neighbors, Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and soon, I don't know who's next, moving away from thinking that democracy and capitalism are simply part of the old colonialism running our lives. So you see that there's no hope in this world. So we have voted for people, and they disappointed us. Am I right? Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. I was going through YouTube yesterday, and I saw something that I had to watch. They said Obasanjo was giving accurate account of what happened to his wife while she died in the office. And I said, let me listen to this. And she said, my wife was not yet 60. We are preparing for her 60th birthday. And then she traveled abroad without me knowing that she wanted to go and do operation to remove some fat so that she can look prim. And from there she died. I know that we want to work on ourselves, we want to look good, but this old world is decaying. We can put that over there, put the mascara there, but underneath there is some wrinkles a little bit. But that's not our expectation. We have a great expectation. Now, by the way, let's look at it very well. That verse says that it's by his great mercy that we have been born again. When I hear people talking about mercy, I check on Facebook. They always talk about mercy when they are doing their birthday, usually, or their wedding anniversary or some kind of anniversary. Oh, they said, the mercy of God has accompanied me to this moment. The mercy of God has... But honestly, it bugs me sometimes that whatever mercy you are thinking about, unbelievers are enjoying the same thing too. Henry Kissinger died 100 years old. Am I right? You know, a Christian. So if it's called our mercy, I think that's a general mercy. But that's a mercy that is peculiarly ours in Christ, is that we are born again. That's the greatest, highest, biggest thing you can ever have. That means that you are now a child of God. That's the greatest mercy. No other mercy can compare with it. Every other mercy pales around it. And you know what? He said, it's by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So being born again never took place until Christ rose from the dead. So they were not born again in the Old Testament, though they had mercy of God. David had mercy of God, but he was not born again. Abraham had mercy of God, but they were not born again. They were not God's children by birth, but we are God's children by birth. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? I think we need to just dig into this a little bit. Born again. Are you really born again? Like one man years ago when I was in church, you know, we were just having a program together, family kind of retreat. And the man came with his wife, though he was not born again. And he was kind of quite honest. He said, hey, everybody here, I'm not born again, but everything in my house is born again. He said, my children born again, my wife born again, the cats, the dogs are born again, except me. And we all just laugh over it. Born again, what does it mean? Let's go to Ephesians 2. And we're going to read from New Living Translation and begin to see what it means to be born again. Because if you don't know what you are born again about, you may not live the life well. It's very easy to just be in church and just carry on. Are you hearing me? Even when you are born again, not to have a kind of a practical effect on our lives. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Let's take a look. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Everybody here could agree with me and can agree with me that our sins are really, really clear. Every one of us over here, we've sinned. Am I right? If you say wrong, then you need to check up your head. Next verse. He says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. Is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God? See, one of us, we that have been trained by Western education, don't see the devil. We don't see evil. We think everything is just intellectual, it's just brain power, it's just logic, it's just reason. And that's where we are wrong. That's where we are really, really wrong. Today, the modern intellectualism is bankrupt. Our children are running rebellious. Our old people are neglected because they are not productive in the economy. And until you have money, you are nobody. And then we come to see that there are other forces in this our world. It's more than just reason. That's selfishness. That's bitterness. That's hatred. And those are not physical. They are not mental either. They are not mental. They are not just reasonable. I mean, human beings do unreasonable things. Am I right? But we know that there are spirits at work. Let's look at next verse. And I love this. Look at next verse. It says, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. I mean, you should look at that in your departments. Look at this in your workplace. Look at this in your neighborhood. Don't just think we are all the same. No, we are not all the same. You will think we are all the same because you have not changed yourself. You know, if you find yourself inside water and you are fishing, you are swimming along with the fish, you know that you and fish are different. But if you don't see any difference between you and the fish, maybe you are a fish yourself. If a Christian does not see any difference between him and the world around him, maybe he's not really saved. Maybe he's not born again. Sorry, let me say something that is a little bit difficult to say now. Forgive me. You know, I'm amazed today that Christians think like the rest of the world. Let me give an example. Sorry, can I step in some personal issues? Why is it that we all think the same way in Japan? Oh, think about it. I don't see any difference between Christians and unbelievers. I don't see. I hardly get people that are Christians that will say, I want to pray about this, I want to think about this, I want to take this decision. It's just everybody's doing the same thing. If I all do the same thing, maybe you have the same bed, flowing together with the same feather. I mean, one of the things that make us Christians is that we can take time to look at the thing around us and decide on God. I'm not against Japa. I'm not against Japa. Even Jase. But what I'm saying is that a whole lot of, when I see people going the same way, and there are many of them, Jesus said we should be careful that that road that looks so wide and many are trekking on it is the way to destruction. And by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Next verse. He says this very beautifully about Christians. But God is so rich in what? And he loved us so much. In what way? Next verse. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved and born again. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's something about being born again. Not just going to church. You know, when we were growing up, we were going to church with our parents. But when we got to the campus, we were told that we have to embrace Jesus ourselves personally. We have to welcome him. We have to make him our own. We are no longer thinking about church. We think more about Christ in our life and being personal with him. I dare say that if you are here today and you're just thinking about church and you don't see any difference there, I dare say that you are not really sure about your salvation. Because what makes somebody, you see, when you look at a child, when a child is born, there's some kind of attraction between the child and the parents. I've seen babies, you know, when they are held by their parents, you see some, they just want to, they see their mom, and the children do this. When you want to pick them up, they turn away from you and turn toward the parents. Now, if your child you get back to never turn to you and turn to everybody else, maybe you stole the child. You know what I mean? The fundamental of a child of God is that Christ becomes a mighty figure in his life. Not just his brain or the popularity around him. Hallelujah. And that's what will give us great expectation. Look at next verse. I love this quickly before we close. It says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ. Wow! And seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. See, I don't know about you, when I was in the campus, just a student, reading my Bible, we were taught to read our Bible those days as clear as the Bible, not by anybody's interpretation. We just read our Bible, and we share every day. What do you read in the Bible? I mean, if you remember those days, if you come and share, if you don't know the Bible, you are in trouble. And the day I read this in the Bible, I said, whoa, I'm trying to go to heaven. I'm already in the heavenly realm. Oh, wait, look at this. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ Jesus. You know, today, go to our churches. Biggest deal. Are you going to make heaven? Will you make heaven? No! How many of you came with your children? Anybody came with your children? Can you imagine your children praying after service? I'm going to go with my parents. No! No! You don't pray about that. You're already part of the family. Praise God, somebody. All this... You see, all this issue about not making heaven and making heaven is all religious politics to keep us under the thumb of denomination. Sorry to say that. Just want to keep us that, oh, if you want to go to heaven with me, you better join the group in church. You better give this amount of money. You better, come on, shut it down. We are God's children by faith and by grace. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. And we don't actually belong to any church. We belong to Christ. God can put us in this city and we are going to that church and God can take us anywhere else and we can go on with that. I don't own you. Hallelujah. Christ owns you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus one more time? The best of the church is that we gather together and we encourage one another, seeking, you know, and God helping us to be together as a family. But we are not under the thumb and rule of any denomination or any power or any system. It's difficult to tell Pastor that today. And Japa is teaching us. I can tell you churches that are struggling now because all their branch pastors, higher pastors, just pack their load and their children and say, Gio, am I being a woman next week? Not even next month. One pastor was standing with me over there. He said, Koyemi, I can't be putting all this into doctors. These doctors, I trained them and they have left. I said, not only you, me too. And I said, you know what? We don't own them. God owns them. By the way, the GO will go for 3 months for apostolic journey. The Japan on you. One of my friends told me, he said, if you want to meet Baba Adeboye, if you want to meet any of these great men of God, just travel abroad. He told me, he said, so for this ministry in Nigeria, if you call with your landline, to call the line of your of the church, they won't pick your call. Just put +44 or +1. They pick up your call quickly. Hallelujah. One of my guys was telling me in UK, he said, I was sitting in the same room about Adeboye. I said, Nigeria, I can't even get close. So we are all in diaspora, right? We are in the heavenly realm, seated with Christ, we are his family. Are you sure of that? I was telling my wife something, and I'm going to start rounding up now. I think that Nigerian Christianity is about just changing our nature, changing our environment. You know, I told my wife, I said, you know, the average person coming to church is just about God helping me to get a car, to get a house, to get a good job. And that's all. No, it's more than that. We are God's children with great expectation. Of course, we're going to have trials in this life. Let's round up now. Let's go back to 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 1. We are in verse 3 or 4 or 5. Where are we? Let's round up. Okay, great. Look at verse 3 first that we read. It says, we have been born again because God raised Christ from the dead. Now we live with what? What are we living with now? Great expectation. Now look at next verse. I love this in NLT. And we have a priceless what? An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. We got the promises of God. We got the word of God. We got this vast inheritance. We are God's children. Amen, somebody? Tell yourself, I have inheritance in God. Years ago, we used to sing a song. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. What are we? We are family. We are one. I believe that God has a plan for our life that's beyond this life. In fact, can I surprise you? This life is just like a rehearsal. Have you seen the choir? They will practice rehearsal. But rehearsal is not the finale. Am I right? The real thing is that you come on the stage and play. Now wait. My hope is not only in this world. My hope is that one day, when this world is over, we are just starting at the beginning. Let me tell you the reason why. That's why Nigerian Christians, they are not so much clear about right and wrong. They see only this life. Imagine I'm a Christian, I go to my office, I enter ministry of something in Secretariat in Abuja. And money began to pass. Before I know it, I become corrupt because I've forgotten that. Really, it doesn't stop here. You can have Pastor Kendi talking like this as the VC, saying that you leave it all and follow Christ. At most, it's 5 years, he'll be out. I'm already counting. 1 year is almost over. The man is even tired himself in a way. It's a lot of work. Praise God. Praise God. You know, recently we were talking and he said one of the VCs in the past was saying, they are spoiling my name, they are spoiling my name. And one professor said, what is your problem? You know they are going to spoil your name. That's why we are paying you and we are putting you in the VC's lodge. They're going to spoil your name. So that's why you have to be comfortable to have your name spoiled well. Hallelujah. We have inheritance in God. Say that with me. We have inheritance in God. It's pure, undefiled, and beyond the reach of change and decay. Do you have it? The promises of God, one of them. Let's look at next verse. Wow, glory to God. And through our faith, God is protecting you by his what? His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. How many of us are saved here? This is what God has planned for in ages. And right now, God is watching over us. Hallelujah, somebody. God is watching over us. Amen. God is protecting us. But let me close. I don't want to close this service without mentioning something. When you are talking like this, people feel like, you are right, but what about all our troubles in this life? I have vast inheritance, but sometimes we are living like pauper. I have potential of power, but sometimes I have problems. I have issues. Let's look at next verse and round up. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to what? Endure many trials for a little while. You see that word? For a little while. Let's go to NKJV and read this verse quickly. Our time is running. Quickly, give us NKJV. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. Everybody read the next three words. Can I hear your voice? If need be. See that word? If need be. So whatever trial, whatever pain you go through, God is not a sadist. It's necessary to go through that at that moment. And why? If you're having a health challenge, a financial challenge, emotional challenge, a marital challenge now, you have been grieved by various trials. But I've got a good news as I close. Yes, you are grieved sometimes. Yes, you are down sometimes. Yes, you are in trial sometimes. But look at next verse. Let's close with that one. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire. What do we do with gold? We want to put it through fire so we can remove all the dross. Am I right? So at this moment, your faith is genuine. Your faith is great, but it has to be tested through fire. That struggle you have, that pain you have, remember those days. Brother Yehu, not having children quite early. Remember those days? I mean, trusting God. Things not really working. And everything else is working, but not that one's working. Now we have how many kids? But beside the kids, something has happened to your faith. Am I right? Everybody here can tell that if you allow yourself to let God help you through your trials, something happens to your faith. It's better, it's stronger, it's purer, it's greater. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Now, when we take a kind of a side cut and jump that trial, learning by faith, we have trouble. Abraham had a son by faith, 25 years. And he had a son by the flesh, one night. Just went to bed with Agar, a child came through. And if you look at Agar, and you look at Sarah, and you look at Abraham, you look at Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael left nothing on Abraham except confusion and shame. But Isaac left something on Abraham that we call him today the father of faith. His faith was forged in his trial. May your trial forge your faith in Jesus' name. May your trial actually get disappointed at the end of the day and say, I wish I didn't go to him. I wish I didn't stop him. I read a verse in the business meeting yesterday. Let's read it. Chapter 1, Exodus. Verse 11 and verse 12. Let's stop there. Okay, we have given everything. We have sang. We have prayed. Therefore, they set taskmaster over them to afflict them with their burdens. We live in a world of today, Egypt. And that's the house of Israel. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. Look at next verse. That's where I'm going. But the more they afflicted them, and tell yourself, no matter the affliction, growth and multiplication will be my lot in life. Say that one more time. Hallelujah. Multiplication and growth, and they were in dread, children of Israel. You know, when you begin to live in spite of your trials and your difficulties, people around us begin to look at us one kind. That's what we don't have anymore today. People don't know us anymore as Christians, living as Christians. They know us by the name of our church and our programs. Huh? Put something on our chest. End of the year, something, and they know us like that. But any other way, we are like the rest of the people. It shouldn't be. Amen, somebody. In our trials, just see two people, two women. This one lost her husband, a Christian. That one lost her husband, an unbeliever. Look down, 10 years. That one that's a Christian, by the help of God, has balanced her life. She has stood up. She stands to balance herself. Her children, they learn to follow God because things are difficult. Then the unbeliever is still lamenting about the past that has not been cleared off. That's the difference in our life. Can we lift our hands this moment and thank God for our faith? This precious faith he has given us, this genuine faith, our faith is genuine. It's not confused. And say, Lord, help me to use this faith. Help me to depend on this faith you have given me in the midst of all the tragedy and trials in this life. Help me to see that my faith is going to grow in the midst of all this. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercies that saved me and got me born again. I'm your child. Maybe you are here today. You have never really come to Christ as your own. You can take this moment right now and say, Jesus, I want to have personal relationship with you. And all it takes for you is to just to open your mouth and from your heart say, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. Time is too far spent for us thinking about what is not. It's time to actually accept you and with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here today to church, but you have not really come to Christ, can you just say, Jesus, I welcome you to my life. Be my Lord and my eternity. I choose you to be my master and my savior. And to be honest with you, if you want to know more about this after you have prayed this prayer, I would like you to look at preaching team side, what I did over here. When service is over, I won't stop it now. Just go to him. He'll give us more light in this area. Praise God, somebody. Can we lift our hands and thank God one more time for being the service today to hear about our vast inheritance that we are born again with? Great expectation. Great expectation. Oh, yeah. We are getting older. But we have great expectation. With vast inheritance. Even in our faith, we know that our faith is developing. And we are marching on. And we are growing. And we are getting better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, every point of guilt and shame, because of what we are going through, we lay it aside. We lay every guilt and shame aside. And we welcome the victory of our faith. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give our offering and our tithe. And let's get out of here. God has been good. Hallelujah. I want to read a verse as we give. I wish I could read Message Bible for 1 Peter, but let's just read the verse there. All I just talk about, let's just read it in Message Bible as we give our offering. So they are not singing. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 in Message Bible from verse 3. We just read. We say it in the summary, what we just talked about. Can you give us on the screen 1 Peter? Just Message Bible. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have him. This Father for our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. Let's keep reading. Including a future in heaven, and the future starts when? Now. Let's keep reading. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you will have it all, life healed and whole. Let's keep reading. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Next verse. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it, proof pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out, proof genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, listen, everybody, I like this one. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold or your wealth, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. God is good. Okay, let's go home. Yeah. That's my announcement. My wife is not here yet, so I think we're just Tuesdays there, Fridays there. Let's join first. Hallelujah. Okay. Can we sing as we close? Great is your faithfulness. Everybody, fantastic. I really want to jump on this bandwagon. The Deacon Stephen has been going to prison, Oba prison, for some time, almost twice a month. But God is opening a great door for them there. There are about 1,300 inmates there. And God has given our church, Deacon Stephen, really favor there. Hallelujah. And they are going to throw a party, crusade kind of party for them on 28th. They're going to feed them from church. We'll feed them and take care of them and preach. And yesterday, after I finished middle breakfast, Brother Bayewu came and said, Reverend, I have a problem that only you can solve. So we sat down there. He said, we had a tall order. Can we bring Reverend Bade Baitowa to that prison? Reverend Bade is very busy. He's preaching from Obomoso to Ketu to something all over. So I said, I will try. So when I got to him, I took my phone and I said, let me just call him, not talk to him on the phone because it's only text. So I said, Reverend Bade, how are you doing? I have a problem. My people want you to come for one prison in here too. He said, send me the text about it. I said, So about 10 minutes later, before I got to him, I just saw his message. He said, God willing, I'll be there gloriously and joyously. So, you want to hear him preach? Let's have 28th. You can join them. You can give. They need clothes. They don't have clothes in the prison. Let's can give some clothes. There are only boys there, no women. All right, so let's do that on the 28th. We're going to have that. That's a Wednesday or Thursday. It's a Wednesday. And it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Am I right? Till about 1 or 2 o'clock. Hallelujah. God will help us. Maybe we'll make it an annual event. That would be lovely. That would be just for the prison. Hallelujah. All right. So that's, please give toward that. You can just use the mission account of the church and specify for prison outreach. We took some offering on Friday for that, but we still need more money. Hallelujah. Or get food for everybody. All right. Let's sing. Get up on your feet. Let's go home. This is the mission account on the screen. Whatever you can give. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness.
Money by money, new mercy I see. All I need and the hands of
great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Can you take your neighbors and let's just thank the faith in Christ that has been placed in our hearts. And we are going out into the world again. Let's thank the Lord for our genuine faith in Him. Let's thank God for His faithfulness to us. Let's appreciate God for His mercy that we have great expectation. No matter our trials, let's thank Him. Let's appreciate Him. And as we march into the week, I want you to bless that person before you. Tell the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord watch over you. The Lord give you peace. Grant you peace in all your borders. May His good face shine upon you. Oh, hallelujah. May the Lord help you and strengthen you in every endeavor this week. May His good hand rest upon you. May He enlarge your coast. May He keep you from every evil. And may you never be a source of pain to anyone this week. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we share the grace, anybody, the first time in our service? Anyone, the first time in our service? You're welcome. Okay, we all right, let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Tell somebody beside you, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Money by money. Sing it again. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Holy, my holy,
mercy for me. One more time. One more time. One more time. Great is your faithfulness. One more time.
Father, we thank you this morning. We celebrate your faithfulness. Thank you for gift of life. Thank you thus far you have brought us. Thank you thus far you have helped.